Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Across the top, it's up to the circle.
They do have a 2-0 lead, but we are starting the show today with, what is the definition of a joke? Is it Ryan Long?
It depends how you spell it.
In these situations, it can always be all capped and J-O-A-K.
Yes.
So let me proceed. Is it Ryan Lomberg's ill-advised penalty, 6:49 into game two? Is it the fact that no one bothered to offer sheet then 23-year-old 6'6" Nick Hague while he sat there until October 10th before re-signing with Vegas for a paltry $2.3 million per over 3 years? Or is a joke, in fact, the PGA Tour and to a lesser extent, the LIV Tour, who now can be referred to as one? We could also go into concert ticket pricing and resale pricing, but that might save or take up far too much time on this hockey-filled day. Marty Buran, how are you?
It's very easy to answer. There's only one definition of a joke.
Oh, no. What is it?
J-O-A-K. It is Ryan Lomberg, because that was, you know, you're starting game two. And you cannot afford to act like you did in game one. And Lomberg goes cross-checking right in the face of Jonathan Marchessault.
Are you acting if you are, in fact, being true to your own character?
Well, you're not acting, but you got to dole down the character.
See, you had to think about that. Like,
you got to dial down the character. You gotta,
maybe Ryan Lomberg is what he is.
They tell you, like, to always play out a character in big games. Like, so don't play like you think you need to and act like a shift disturber. But, you know, dial it down a little bit. So that's the joke. What was the second one you said?
How did Nick Hague sit there until October 10th and no one bats an eye? And by the way,
Nick Hague leads
all Vegas defensemen in time on ice, 5-on-5 in these playoffs, just quietly goes about his business. He's probably the best bargain on the blue line in the NHL right now. So,
well, he is definitely a great bargain, but Owen Power and an entry-level deal is also pretty good.
Entry-level deals don't count. You know that.
I know that. But also, you don't know that 31 other teams didn't call Vegas and didn't.
I never asked about calling. I said they didn't offer sheet him.
Yeah, but for a team to offer sheet Nick Hague, Nick Hague has to agree to sign the offer sheet. You can't just all of a sudden, I declare an offer sheet for Nick Hague. Like, I declare bankruptcy. Like, Michael Scott in the office, right? No, you can't just declare an offer sheet. You have to agree to it. And I'm pretty sure that if you're Nick Hag, like, you want to stay in Vegas. You want to play for the Vegas Golden Knights. And unless somebody comes in with an offer you can't refuse, you're going to try to make it work with the Knights.
Well, it seems to be working well because they're there, as I have professed many times, their league best defense corps, my opinion, seemingly a few more people's opinion now, operates at under $29 million for its entirety, which is also, well, it's a joke for everybody else that isn't as good at constructing a group of six for that price. But the last one, which I know was near and dear to your heart, which requires one line at the very least, or one word, since it's a one-word Tuesday. Golf.
With the PGA and the LIV?
I have way more time now. I was just starting to get back into watching golf, and it will never appear on my screen for the rest of this summer.
You know what? I'll say this. It's golf. It's the PGA. It's business. It's, trying to move forward and have the best athletes compete all together.
This is different. This was clearly a scam. There's zero integrity among anybody involved in the game, players and executives, in my opinion. It's a joke to the nth degree. Bye-bye, golf.
Well, you can feel any way you want to feel, Duffer, and you have that right.
At least the WHA tried to throw millions at players year after year after year after year after year before finally realizing they couldn't do it. Then they merged with an entity that they presumably didn't hate. It wasn't as political as all this.
Right.
Anyway, let's.
Well, maybe
focus
I'll
on
say this. Care. I'll say this, and maybe that's just the way that I see it. Is that LIV Golf may have been slowly but surely kind of on the way out. That they felt.
When did they ever start?
Well, absolutely. Maybe that's the way it is. They felt like they were going to be able to reach a certain level, and maybe they were going to hit it big. I don't think they ever got there. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, we have to do the best thing is to just merge with the PGA in some way and make and salvage something. So that's probably what it came down to.
Your concern is the Panthers. Will the Panthers be merging with LIV Golf and the PGA in quicker fashion here based on what we saw in the first two games?
Can bring the energy Thursday night to the floor FLA Live arena down in Sunrise. I think it may spur a little something to Florida. But here's the thing. We had to know, and we've been talking about it from a long time now, that if Sergei Bobrovsky had been the goaltender that he was, especially in round two and three, for the last multiple years, he would have had more than two Vezina trophies, and he would have had more success in the playoffs. Now, look, am I blaming Sergei Bobrovsky for what's going on to the Florida Panthers? Absolutely not. They are playing about as lousy as I've seen them play in the last 2.5 months. They are undisciplined. They turn the puck over. They are all over in their defensive zone. They screen their own goalie. They don't get to puck retrieval. They don't kill penalties. They're unraveling before our eyes. But they've only lost two games in Vegas. They're going back home for game three. Like, it's not all of a sudden panic button, right? The only problem that I have with this whole story is that Florida is going to say to themselves, guys, we're back home for game three. We have our fans. We have to continue being physical and continue bringing the energy. And they're going to continue doing the same thing that they did in the first two games. And Vegas is going to just keep taking it and keep taking it. And they kick them when they have the need to, is when they put pucks in the net. And that's what they're going to do.
There are so many directions to go based on our group text thread last night. I don't know.
We should make sure there's a disclaimer before anything that will be put on this train, on this text chain, will be used on the air tomorrow or whatnot, because it was gold.
It, It will always be presented as anonymous.
Anonymous.
But I don't know. I mean, Marty, we quite literally live this every day. We open up the microphone at noon and we go unscripted for 54 minutes.
Yes.
So I get it. Sometimes your thought leads you down a path that you maybe can't believe after. It's like, why did I even go there? But like, I heard something last night on, I'm assuming it was post game, that maybe the attention should be squarely on the Panthers coaches for not practicing properly in the week leading up to the Stanley Cup final.
What are they supposed to do? Like do one-on-one battles in the corner?
I'm like, oh my gosh. These are some very esteemed,
watching practice like these are esteemed, the whole 9 days.
Aside from Biz, these are esteemed hockey people, right? Yeah. Like on the panel. Like, anyway.
I'll go back to what Dan Bylsma told me 1 year. We're talking about systems, about goalies, about days off and rest. And he goes, here's the biggest challenge as a coach. It doesn't matter what you do. If it works, you're a genius. And if it doesn't work, you're an idiot and you get fired. So Paul Maurice, who is a genius for three rounds for the end of the season for the Lion King and switching to Bobrovsky and all of that. And he's fun in his press conference. Everybody laughs and he tells everybody to chill after game one. Like, hey, take a breather. Let's chill. Like if we've lost game one against Boston, we came back. We've won every game two on the road this playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden he's not good anymore because of the 9 days off. Look, Vegas. You know what Vegas did in their last 12 games, Duffer? In their last 12 games, five times they've got the other goalie pulled. Five times. Twice Skinner, twice Ottinger, and now one Bobrovsky.
I got a hashtag for you. Vote John Conn.
Okay.
Jonathan Marchessault is the biggest reason for that last 12 games with 12 goals and every single statistical measure that you could possibly want in a still underappreciated player at this stage of his career. I don't even care what the final point total ends up. I'm just saying that no one ever goes into a season saying, can't wait to see Jonathan Marchessault this year. That's my point. You know what I mean? He's not in the realm of star players, but he's absolutely the type of player you need. Marchessault, I don't care what the final point totals end up. Hintz is still leading. Tkachuk and Eichel are marginally ahead. If Marchessault never gets another point the rest of the way, like
he's MVP,
he's the Conn Smythe for me. Yes. It's not even close. It's everything. I mean, he's so involved. There are silly things that you may not believe in statistically. You can pick your analytical level or old school level or a physicality level. The hits that he delivers, the hits that he takes, the shots that he takes, which is more than anybody in the playoffs so far. So guess what? When you shoot more, you have a greater likelihood of scoring. This guy is so representative of Vegas since day one, and I'm thrilled that he is playing at the level that he is playing, because between him and Smith and Kolesar and Carrier and McNabb and Haig and all these other guys, I have always loved how Vegas is constructed. None of it matters to me, and this is me saying I'm not telling you not to feel whatever you feel about Jack Eichel. You're 1,000,000% entitled to do that. All I'm telling you is I've loved how Vegas has been constructed forever, and I love it when guys like Marchessault, but specifically in this case, Marchessault, take center stage.
Well, according to multiple books right now, but I'm looking at the DraftKings books, is Marchessault is -105 for the Conn Smythe right now, which is the leader in the clubhouse. The next closest is Jack Eichel at +425. And Adin Hill at +500. The top two heading into the Stanley Cup Finals this year were Sergei Bobrovsky and Matthew Tkachuk. They are now fourth and fifth, obviously, because Florida could always come back. So Marchessault has propelled himself at the top of the leaderboard with the first two games. He wasn't that far off when the finals started, but also, because our good buddy Danny Briere is in town with the Flyers because of the combine being in the at the arena. And so I saw this tweet here yesterday that Quebec-born players with 12 or more goals in a playoff year, okay? Mm-hmm. Quebec-born player with 12 or more goals in a playoff year. Listen to these names. Maurice Richard in 1944, Jean Béliveau in 56, Yvon Cornoyer in 73, Guy Lafleur, Mike Bossy, Luc Robitaille, Mario Lemieux, three times, Claude Lemieux twice, Danny Briere, and now Jonathan Marchessault. So, and I will share, I said, that's a nice little list to be on, eh, Danny? He says, wow, they probably just, you know, put my name out there because they had to, but probably wanted to forget about it. But no, I said he was ahead of Claude Lemieux anyway in my book, but there's a lot of there's a lot of names on there. And Marchessault joining the likes of Danny, who was a playoff performer, and mm-hmm. we know that from his days here in Buffalo and
well,
Philadelphia.
Sadly, we know them even more so from his days in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
That's where the legend grew, and
Mr. Playoff started there, yes. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Béliveau, Lafleur, Bossy, Richard.
Amazing.
I mean, amazing. Luc Robitaille, mm-hmm. Mario Lemieux. Like, those are great names, and Marchessault joined that list.
And he's in his second cup final with Vegas after the team that let him go was reminded of such a fact last night.
Which I love.
Yes.
Because there's always something to play for when you play against a team like that. But
no, Marchessault social media, when you reacted to the Vegas tweet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that was great. Vegas tweeted from the Florida Panthers, the Vegas Golden Knights select Jonathan Marchessault, so kind of a reenacting of the expansion draft, which was great. Although, like I was asked yesterday, what makes Marchessault so such a great shooter? And mm-hmm. such, and I said, he uses an extra long stick, okay? Which mm-hmm. is weird because he's not that big. He's not that tall. But he started using a long stick when he played with Matt Zuccarello in Hartford in the AHL. And mm-hmm. he saw Zuc's stick, and they're about the same height. Like, Marchessault's a little taller than Zuc's, but they're about the same height. And Marchessault's sticks were like 4 or 5 inches shorter than Zuccarello. And he goes, what the heck? And Zuc's is like, yeah, I when I played on big ice in Europe, I wanted a longer stick to be able to get to pucks faster. And I got used to it. And Marchessault started using a longer stick. And now you see, like, he can shoot the puck from way out far or in tight. Goalies have a hard time reacting to it. The first goal last night's a perfect example of that. So Marchessault is a right-handed shot, comes down the right wing on the power play, the right flank, and he's got a D fronting him. Marchessault's putting the puck way out far, like farther than a normal stick would. And Stone is in front as the screen. Bobrovsky thinks that he's centered on the body of Marchessault, but really he should be centered on the puck. Mm-hmm. And the puck is seeing the whole short side. Like, the puck is seeing 2.5, 3 feet of space on the short side. Marchessault knows that with the long stick. It's a good shot, but it's because of the longer stick that he's able to use. Not everybody can use a long stick, but he's able to use because he's worked on it. It's a big difference in his game, huge difference in his game.
Lawrence Pilot is going back to European ice. More on that in our second half hour here on Sabres Live. A former Pilot teammate, Jack Eichel, we presume will be continuing in this series. Do you suspect any lingering effects from the massive collision with Matthew Tkachuk in period two?
I think Jack is going to wake up a little bit sore today. I won't lie to you. He looked in good spirits after the game doing interviews, but I think he'll wake up a little sore, not just because the guy's had a artificial disc replacement surgery a year and a half ago, but because that's a big body hit, right, that he took. Luckily, they don't play until Thursday, so he's got an extra day of rest in between. But this, to me, was very scary. When Jack Eichel got hit, at first I thought, wow, big hit. And then you rewatch it, and then you see Jack's reaction after the hit, where he gets up and he skates as fast as he can to the bench. And his facial expression is one of, like, scared. Like, it's just, like, fear in his face. Now, at first, I thought maybe he felt like something in his neck and his body. He's grabbing his arm in a weird way. His face is all red. Now, I listened to Mike Johnson, who's on NHL Network. He's also a TSN co-worker. And he was on NHL Network radio this morning saying that when he walked out of the building, he was walking out with Jack Eichel last night. And he had a conversation with him. And he said, how are you feeling? And he said, everything's good. And he kind of said, look, I know that my neck can take those hits now, right? Because that was a big hit. But Johnny asked him, well, what about the facial expression after, right? You were like, you look scared. He goes, I lost my wind. And when you lose your wind, you try to inhale and you can't. And you're like panic sets in because you think you're choking, and I've been there. It's not fun. I'll tell you this. And anybody that played hockey that as a 5 or 6 year old went into
the driveway, on the driveway, when the stick gets caught in the grass,
or like you go into the boards and the stick gets you in the stomach, you lose your wind. You know what I'm talking about, but that's why Jack's reaction was that. But I think he'll be sore. If not the neck, the rest of the body's going to be sore today.
Two full days off. They don't resume until Thursday, right? And is that right? What day is today?
Tuesday. So they don't play. It's actually Thursday, and then they don't play again. They play Saturday, and then they have 2 days off in between every game, 5, 6, and 7. It's kind of a delayed. I don't like
that. I really hope it's done after Saturday.
Well, you know, my prediction was Vegas in 5, right? Like I had.
When did you deliver that? And whose show was I on? And why wasn't I with you?
Well, maybe that was with Jordan on Friday or Thursday last week or whatever.
Maybe it was on your 9 other platforms on a weekly basis.
Maybe I just put it on an email and send it out to people. But I have Vegas in 5.
But I ended in my junk file. Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I'm glad you added the word file after you said the beginning of the phrase.
Okay, time for some math. Are you up for an equation?
Absolutely.
11 times 10 equals what?
110.
You're overthinking this. 11 times 10 equals an 0-2 deficit for the Panthers.
Oh, yes.
Stop taking 10-minute misconducts. Oh, my gosh. This is absurd. And it's deserved. It's absurd and deserved. How ridiculous does that sound? But the stupidity, like the early penalty by Lomberg, it has to stop. And yes, I'm guilty of overusing tongue-in-cheek fake toughness, which we've discussed many times for many teams, including the Panthers in Game 4 against Boston, which we talked about yesterday. But the ridiculousness and the video never tells the story. Everyone, and we had a good discussion in the office, Jordan and I, this morning about, like, you know, when Tkachuk and Barbashev got 10 each with the 2-minute minors after the Eichel hit, quite frankly, and Jordan brought this up, as a fan, I don't think the 10-minute component gets explained well enough. All casual fans see is that one of the best players in the game just got, and interestingly, also one of the best Vegas Golden Knights in Barbashev. Both of them were now gone for 12 minutes, but there was never a true breakdown. There's never an explanation by the officials for a 10-minute misconduct. It's just a wide brush thing. And yet I would almost guarantee everything on this one. If you were privy to on-ice audio, you would know why repeatedly the officials have decided to start handing out 10s in these games, especially when Matthew Tkachuk is involved. It is nonstop, it's belligerent, and it's tiresome. And guess what? It makes Tkachuk a great player.
Yes.
But at some point, the stupidity and without the explanation that we're here kind of craving for the 10s, I was sitting there watching that scrum post Eichel being injured, and I'm like, Tkachuk needs to calm down here. He is making life miserable for the linesmen, and it's completely unnecessary. And so I wasn't surprised when they tossed him with Barbashev, because they were like, this could have been diffused, but you guys need to figure out how to calm down.
I wasn't surprised that he got a 10-minute misconduct there. I was very surprised that Florida did not get a power play out of that, because really, like, Tkachuk hits Eichel, it's over. Vegas comes after Tkachuk, and their whole scrum.
They just kind of scrummed. Like, I didn't think.
But why did they scrum? Because Vegas felt that Tkachuk hit Eichel in a bad way. It was a clean hit.
So right.
For me, Vegas should have been killing a penalty here. I should have said, you guys started the after the whistle thing after a clean hit, and there was no reason for it. I'm taking the next one on Vegas. But I agree with the 10-minute misconducts.
But here's the thing. We've all seen it enough to know that your instinct there is 100% right. That in that situation, 9 times out of 10, you're going to see Florida go to the man advantage because of retaliation. But in fact, what I was saying earlier is probably the reason it didn't happen. Yes. Because Tkachuk wouldn't stop. And when you keep pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope before the official ever has to go over to the timekeeper's bench, he's like, you know what? You blew it. You just took away your opportunity. I told, you know, it sounds so stupid and parental, right? I told you to stop. I told you to stop. But that's the nature of this stuff. Like we do actually sometimes in the offseason at NHL meetings get to hear some of this, you know, on ice recordings that are shared by the officiating group and the league department and, you know, stuff like that.
It's also scored effect, right? Because it's 4-0 and the referees Bingo. Are saying, we don't want this game to get out of hand.
Yes.
So instead of saying, we're going to give Vegas an extra 2 minutes and reward Matthew Tkachuk and the Florida Panthers for, you know, their shenanigans all game, because it's not like it just happened with 2 minutes left in the second period. It was a accumulation of 38 minutes leading up to that point. So they said, you know what? It's 4-0 And Florida's been undisciplined and yapping and doing all the crazy stuff that they have to stop doing after the whistle. So we're going to even it out. We're going to give 10-minute misconduct. It happened with Aiden Hill and Matthew Tkachuk earlier in the game where Tkachuk was behind Hill.
Which was garbage, right?
Well,
like Tkachuk knows exactly what he's doing there, and I'm glad Hill gave it back to him.
Hill also knows what he's doing, but Hill is like, I'm 6'6", 230.
Exactly.
Come at me.
I love it.
Like, come on. But Hill, what Hill has done really well, and my son Jacob texted me, Hill's getting out of his bubble, because I keep telling my kids, when there's things happening.
Oh, Amherst antenna.
Stay in your bubble, right? At school, bubble, on the ice, stay in your bubble, right? I know, exactly. It's Spalding Lake's Wi-Fi. But always stay in your bubble, right? And so Jacob texts me, hey, Hill is getting out of his bubble. I'm like, he's stepping out, but he's going right back in. He bumped Matthew Tkachuk, gave him a shot, and he's like, okay, I'm done. Because he knows he's way bigger than Tkachuk. He's bigger than anybody else. Nobody's going to come after him.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much to discuss, including why does Marty's Wi-Fi always crap out between 22 and 27 minutes after the hour?
Every day. We need to take the break then.
This is unbelievable. If you're trying to keep up with the Vegas Golden Knights, they are leading the league at 3.9 goals per game. They are fourth best at 2.58 goals against. They are 7-0 when they outshoot their opponent. They're 7-5 when they get outshot, last night. They're 7-0 when leading after one. They're 10-0 when leading after two. And oh, by the way, they lead all teams in comeback wins in these playoffs as well. I think it's fair to say the Vegas Golden Knights are simply amazing in every category. And the biggest problem, which we have kind of gone around and around and around with here, for the Panthers is a lack of discipline in the first two games, and you can blame any number of players for it. Yep. But the only way you get away with it is if your special teams are better than the other teams, and that has not been the case. The Golden Knights are 4-for-11 with the extra man. They're 7-for-7 on the PK, and that's why Vegas is up 2-0. We'll come back, hopefully, in sync here on Sabres Live, WGR Sports Radio 550. And
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Yeah. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.